Life Point Church. Hope everybody is doing well, enjoying the weekend, enjoying whatever the heck it is that's going on outside that they call February. But thank you all for being here. Glad you're here hanging with us this morning. My name is Andy Driscoll, and I'm the lead pastor here. And I'm just really excited to have you here today as we wrap up this fourth and final week of our current series called The Power of a Lie. And what we've done over the past 3 weeks is we've been looking at some of the most common lies that our spiritual enemy uses against us in order to rob our joy, right? To steal everything it is and keep us from doing what God created us to do. And that's really what we've been looking at. And we've talked about how only the truth can set us free from those things, right? So we've been looking at God's truth to dispel those lies. And the reason that Satan, our spiritual adversary, uses lies so often is because he understands that a lie believed as truth has the power to affect us as if it were true, right? Even though it's a lie, we start to believe it is true. And it affects us in some really, really terrible ways. So today I want to finish up by talking about yet another very common lie that many of us believe and fall victim to, and it's the lie that I am what I do. I am what I do. It's this performance lie, right? It's a performance lie that our value, that our worth, that our identity comes from what we do or what we don't do. And as I stated, I think pretty much every week of this series, this is another lie that I struggle with. So if you go back and look at, listen to the podcast, you'll quickly find that I struggle apparently with a lot of lies in my life. So, but it is. It's this lie that we wrestle with. Kind of this whole thought that if I perform well, right? If I perform well, then I'm valuable. But if I fail or if I struggle, then I'm worthless. And man, that is so, so powerful in our lives. That lie can be so damning in our lives. It can be terrible. And we need to find the truth, right? And a lot of times we know the truth. The truth is sitting right there. And we have a head knowledge of that, but it never reaches our heart. We never allow it to really impact and change us. We never claim that truth, the truth of God as our own. And for me, again, like I said, this is something I've struggled with my whole life. I mean, I think back even in middle school and high school, you know, that I found my worth based off my athletic ability, right? You know, so because I could throw a baseball, throw a football, shoot a basketball or whatever, that therefore that's where my value was. And people in my life actually helped perpetuate that lie. And it wasn't until, you know, I blew my knee out my junior year and then gruesomely broke my leg my senior year, I started to see that I didn't have an identity. That my friends that were there, it was all because of this false identity of that I had surrounding sports, you know. Even my coaches started treating me different. Man, it was a radically life-changing thing for me. Because, see, that was my whole life. I mean, that's all I did. That's all I wanted to do. That was my plans for college. That was everything. Because I had my identity wrapped up in the wrong thing. It was on what I did as opposed to who I really am. And it can be very, very destructive. And you know, and many of us, we wrongly believe this lie that we are what we do. And if you do, again, you're in good company. I mean, Solomon, probably the wisest dude to ever live, struggled with this, right? He struggled with this as well. And you would think, like, this dude he's got it together. I mean, he's King Solomon, he's wise, he's got this. But man, he struggled and fell victim to this lie as well. And when he started to realize it, his eyes were kind of open to that. He wrote these words in Ecclesiastes chapter 2, verses 10 and 11. He said this. He said, I denied myself nothing my eyes desired. I refused my heart no pleasure. My heart took delight in all my labor, and this was the reward for my toil. He's basically saying, look, you know, look at what I've done. Like, look at what I've built. And because I've built this, and because of my accomplishments, and because of my achievements, this is who I am. And because of that, I'm going to reward myself. It's all good. Like, I got this. You know, this is who I am. I am what I do. That's what he came to. But then we check out verse 11. He says, yet when I surveyed all that my hands had done and what I had toiled to achieve, everything was meaningless. In chasing after the wind, nothing was gained under the sun. He said everything was meaningless, like chasing the wind. I don't know if any of you have ever tried to chase the wind before, but spoiler alert, you don't catch it. Now, if you spit into the wind, something else happens. Don't do that. But you chase after the wind, it's pointless. And that's what he's saying. He's saying when you put your identity in what you do, it's pointless. It gets you nowhere. It doesn't. And it's a result that we begin to find our identity in what we do. And as a result of that, then we find our identity in all these wrong avenues, right? We start to have all these different areas of our life and avenues speaking to us that this is what your identity is, and this is what your identity is. And then we start to claim those things, and we build this false foundation of who we are. And then we just build everything up on this lie that we are what we do. And as a result, it comes crashing down. It's toxic. It's unhealthy. It's unbiblical. It's not what God intended for our lives. So to help us identify and see where we may actually be believing this lie, I want to briefly share with you three different areas or avenues in your life where many times we wrongly find our identity, right? Where our identity wrongly comes from. And again, please hear me today, and I'll probably say this a few other times. I am so much so preaching to myself today, it's not even funny. So, and I hope that God speaks to you in this through this conversation as well. But as we walk through these areas, I want you to be brutally honest with yourself. And I really want you to think through these things and to see if this is where you are finding your identity. If this is where you're placing, you know, your value on yourself. And if you're wrongly believing this lie. So the first area that I want to show you is that many times, and based off this performance lie, our identity wrongly comes from what we've accomplished, right? What we've accomplished in our life. Maybe you're like me. I think because of this performance lie in my life, I feel like I have to be the best at everything. I am stupid competitive. It's not even funny. Like, I lose my mind. Like, if we're going to play ping pong, dude, it's going down. Like, for real. And if I lose, we're going to play again. That's why, you know, since we got a kids in Xbox One, there's been a few nights that I was up till like 4 in the morning because I had to beat that team, you know. Nope, I'm going to play him again. I'm playing because I'm just competitive to a fault. But a lot of time, I think of that it's because I believe this lie, that I somehow am finding my value based off what I can accomplish or what I can't accomplish. And don't hear what I'm not saying. I mean, it's not a bad thing to be competitive. It's not a bad thing to want to win. It's not a bad thing to want to be great at what you do. But when your identity comes into that, And the result of success or failure and however you view that determines how you view yourself and becomes extremely toxic. And I know from experience, trust me. It's we wrongly find our identity in what we can accomplish. You know, it's more like if I accomplish something good, then I feel good about myself, right? That I'm worth it. But if I don't accomplish whatever it was I set out to do, then I'm a failure. I mean, it's real. I mean, it's something that we all wrestle with and we deal with. You know, it could be for you. It could be something like maybe you're in sales and you're like, you know what? This month I was was the leading salesperson in my company, like in the entire company. I was the leading salesperson, so therefore I am great at my job. Like, I feel good about myself. I'm destroying everybody. Like, this is great. Not only am I making money, but I'm on the top of the game and I'm doing great. But then, you know, the last three quarters of the fiscal year, I mean, you're at the bottom of the barrel, and you tank. And then you just totally flip-flop, and you're like, I'm terrible at my job. I'm horrible. And not only am I terrible at my job, I'm just a failure in general. Because I'm not providing for my family, and I'm not doing this, I'm just a failure, right? Or, hey, I got the promotion. I got the promotion I was seeking, so I'm good, right? Pat on the back. I've got this. I'm a good person. I'm successful. I'm moving in the right direction. But say you didn't get the promotion, then it's like, again, failure. Or how about this one? Maybe you start receiving your worth based off your kids' accomplishments and your kids' success or failures. I mean, that's a reality in 2017 for sure. I think it's been that way for a long time, but even more so. And maybe it's just because I'm, you know, a dance dad, and I see behind the curtain there a little bit. But seriously, I've seen it in my own life. You know, since having kids, it's something that I'm very aware of, and it's a struggle of mine. Sawyer is, you know, I talked about how sports was my life. Well, Sawyer's just, he's not there, that's to say the least. He is the most charismatic, just rad kid I know, but he could care less about sports, you know. So when he went playing baseball, you know, I'm like, man, this kid gets a hit every game. And he's 6 years old and can throw a strike from third to first. And then I look at Sawyer, and he's out there, like, in right field, like, watching squirrels run across the fence. You know, and I'm just like, ah, oh, I feel like a failure as a father. Like, I should have done this, and I should have done that. And that's just crazy. It's bogus. Because I'm finding my identity in something that's meaningless. I'm chasing the wind. Now, I'm so blessed with incredible kids. What does that matter? I want them to be who God created them to be. That's where it's at. That's what's important. But it's because of this performance trap. It's believing this lie that I am what I do. You know? And we struggle with that time and time again. You know, think about it again as a parent. You know, you've got your kid out, you know, out in public, and they're just behaving beautifully. You're like, man, we are the best parents out there. Like, we got this parent game on lock. Like, it is beautiful. But then they're not feeling it the next time you go out, and everyone in the restaurant's looking at you, and not because, you know, you're just that good looking, because your kids are acting like lunatics. And you're just like, man, we're the worst parents ever. We have failed. Like, we don't know what we're doing. We're failures, right? And it's because we base our value and our identity based on what we accomplish or don't accomplish. How many of you would say that you've been there and done that? That's been a struggle in your life, right? Another avenue that sometimes we find our identity in the wrong areas is we find our identity wrongly in what we have, right? In our possessions, the things that we have or the things that we don't have, you know? Keeping up with the Joneses, whoever the heck they are. Like, I feel bad for anybody whose last name is Jones, you know? Well, maybe I don't, because if everybody's trying to keep up with them, hey, they're killing it, you know? They're crushing it. But it is. We get our identity wrapped up in what we have or what we don't have. And again, I've been there and I've done that. You know, we're looking at what they have. You know, they got this new BMW, right? Or they just got this beautiful new house that they just built, and we're trying to formulate, like, how we measure up to that, right? And if we measure up close to that, we're like, okay, we're good. We're going on the right path. We got things going in the right direction, so we're doing okay. But if we don't feel like we measure up, then we're just like, man, we're letting our kids down, letting ourselves down. You know, we're just failures. We're just not doing good. We're not on the right track. We're not getting it done. So then a lot of times that leads you to do really, really stupid stuff. Then you go out, you know, you're up to your ears in debt, but instead you want to go out and you buy that new luxury car. You lease it, you know, or you get, like, you know, finance it for 7 years just so you can afford the payment. And as soon as you drive it off the lot, like, you know, it's dropped like $15,000 and you're in trouble. And, you know, but you drive off the lot feeling like, I'm accomplished. I've arrived. Because we're wrongly finding our identity in what we have, in possessions, right? Or, man, look at the neighborhood we just moved into. Man, we have made it. A sure sign of success. Or, man, look at the neighborhood that we live in and where we're raising our kids. A sure sign of failure. We find our identity in what we have. And I know sometimes that's difficult to admit, but how many of you would say that you've been there and you've really struggled at times with kind of keeping up the Joneses and finding your identity in what you have or what you don't have, right? I think a lot of us struggle with that. The third area, and we talked about this a little bit last week, and it's that we wrongly find our identity at times in what people think about us, right? And what people think about us. What people think about you. You formulate that, your entire self-worth and value based off what someone else thinks. And that's just crazy. You know, I think about my work life outside of here in my career. You know, I think about, you know, the CEO. If the CEO tells me, you know what, Andy, man, you are the leading voice and the most knowledgeable person in the state on PRTF programs. Like that, you are the guy. Man, if she says that, I feel great. And I'm like, man, I'm successful. I know what I'm doing, you know, and I'm confident. And I walk into that next meeting feeling great about myself, right? But if I make some decision that some of my employees don't like or don't appreciate, and then, you know, kind of through the grapevine, I start hearing they're like, man, Andy's a joke. He doesn't know what he's doing. Then I allow that to destroy me. And I start to think to myself, well, maybe they're right. Maybe I am a joke. Maybe I don't know what I'm doing. And we can flip-flop so quick because we start to place way too much value on what other people think about us. And we find our identity in that. And our identity rests in the hands of other people as opposed to the hands of God, where it belongs. But we do that. We fall victim to this vicious cycle because we're so focused on this performance, right? This performance mentality that I am what I do. Right? Do you like me? Right? Do you like that decision I made? Do you like my car? Right? Do you like the clothes I'm wearing today? Do you like how I handled this situation? Right? Do you like the way I'm parenting and raising my kids? Do you like the way I operate this area? Do you like the joke I just told? Do you not like the joke I just told? Do you think I crossed the line? Do I care? But we do. We put so much pressure on ourselves, on what other people think. And that's where we start to claim our identity in the hands of somebody else. How many are there or have been there? Right. And if you realize this morning that your identity has been wrongly claimed due to some of these areas, what you find your identity in, your accomplishments, right, or what you have or what other people think about you, I want you to understand and know the truth. Right? Because like we've talked about, the truth is the only thing that can really set us free from these lies. Right? The truth can set you free. And the truth is that you are not what you do. Hear me clearly on that. You are not what you do. You are not what you did. You are not what you've done. And you are not what you will do in the future. You are not what you do. But the truth, again, is you are who God says you are. Period. The end. You are who God says you are. You're not what you do. You're who God says you are. And sure, maybe you're an engineer, right? Or you're an accountant, you know, or you're a teacher, you're a custodian, you're a business owner, maybe you're a consultant, you know, maybe you're an executive or a director or whatever, but that is simply what you do. It's just what you do. It's not who you are. It doesn't define you. It's just what you do. Because who you are is who God says you are. So who does God say you are, right? We talked about this some last week. If you are who God says you are, who does God say you are? And see, as Christ followers, God says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 that through Christ you are a new creation, right? That old things have passed away and all things are new. That's who you are. And 1 Thessalonians 1 says that you are loved and chosen by God. Right there, I mean, that gets me jazzed right there, that you are loved and chosen by God. That's who you are. Galatians chapter 3, in Christ, you are children of God. See, these are the things that God says that you are. Not what other people think about you, not your past successes or failures. Right, not what you have, but you are who God says you are. And one of my all-time favorite verses, I know I talk about this verse a lot, but I love it. I love the wording of it. I love the visuals of it. It's just beautifully and powerfully written. And it's one of my favorite verses on claiming our identity in Christ and who we truly are. And it's in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. It says, "For we are God's masterpiece." We are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do good things that he planned long ago. Right? You are God's masterpiece. That's who you are. That's where your identity should come from the fact that you are God's masterpiece, that you are created anew in Christ Jesus. And I love that verse. But sometimes, even, you know, a verse that I love, we kind of skip past or just skim over the end of that because I'm so captivated on the fact that I'm God's masterpiece. But the ending has so much value as well, especially when we're talking about believing and dispelling the lie that I am what I do. See, he says, for you are God's masterpiece, which is true, right? That's truth. You are created anew in Christ Jesus, which is also true. But why? Right? Why are we God's masterpiece and created in Christ Jesus and anew? Right? And it's so that we can do good things, do the good things that he planned for us long ago. So that we can do those things. See, while we are not what we do is important still, right? And that's why I think Satan uses that lie, because we get those things mixed up sometimes, and they start to intersect when they really don't need to. We're not what we do, but what we do is important, because God created us to do good things. He created you specifically to do things that only you can do. God, he created you for that. You're his masterpiece. You're perfect in his eyes. He's given you all the skills and the abilities that you need in order to go and do what it is that he called you to do. You are his masterpiece, created to do incredible things. And while you're not what you do is important. Let me say it like this, and if you want to write this down or capture this, I want you to check this out. What we do doesn't define who you are, right? So what we do doesn't define who you are, but is a result of who you are. See, it's a result of who you are. We do good things, and we're on mission because of who God is and who he's created us to be, because of our identity found in him, not in anything else. And because of who we are, we're going to go do incredible things for Christ. That's why you're not what you do. You're not what you've done. You're not what you did. You're none of those things. You are God, who God says you are. And because of that fact, we need to allow God to speak into and define the important things in our life, right? Like if our identity needs to come in him, and if we're his masterpiece, we need to allow him to define every area of our life. But when we talk about this lie, I want to focus on two specific things that we really need to focus on and allow God to define in our lives. And the first one this morning is that we need to let God define the do's and the don'ts. We need to let God define the do's and the don'ts, right? And I believe this is critical for those of us who struggle with this performance mentality, or we believe the lie that, you know, that I am what I do. It's critical for us, because I guarantee you right now, if you struggle with this, you probably have about 20 plates spinning right now, and you're trying to keep every single one of them going. And you're exhausted, you're stressed out, you're overcommitted, you're overextended, and you're running around like a crazy person. Stressed to the max, right? And I know that this is the case, one, because I live it, but also because when we're stuck in this performance trap, we're always trying to do more and more and more to prove ourselves, to prove our self-worth, to find value, to prove our value. We're always doing more and more and more. And see, when we do this, we may actually be doing more than what God ever wanted or intended us to do. When we're overextended. You see, Jesus said this in Matthew chapter 11, verse 29 and 30. He says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Jesus says, learn from me, right? And some of you, you haven't experienced true rest in years. Maybe you don't even know what that is. And when you start talking about your yoke and your burden, you know, Jesus says, you know, take mine, it's easy and light, but yours is, man, it's rough and heavy. That's where you're at right now. That's where you're sitting, rough and heavy. And Jesus says, man, take my yoke. It's light. It's easy. The burden is light. He said, learn from me. So when we're overextended, we're doing way more than God wants us to do. Because he's saying, with me, you can have rest. You can have rest for your soul. But we, so many times, don't let God define our do's and don'ts. We're on this performance track. We're hyper-focused on everything that we have to get done and in the time frame that it has to get done in, right? I mean, it sounds something, it's like, man, I got to work late tonight, so I got to try to figure out who's going to pick up the kids from school, and I'm stressing about that, and then I got to clean the house up because we got the family coming over on Thursday, so we got to get that, so I got to get home and do that, and I get the laundry done, and then we have, dance rehearsals, all this week, and then we got a basketball game on Saturday morning, then we had competition, Saturday night, and then at some point in time, I got to get my dissertation, done because I got 3 chapters, due in a couple weeks, and then I got to find time to get my hair cut, and then, oh, crap, I've got to call so-and-so because I know they're super stressed out and they really need, they need to hear from somebody and they really need me right now and I'm just stressed and it goes on and on and on. And I'm not speaking from experience or anything that I've heard all the time. But that's the way it sounds because we overextend and we focus on things that aren't the most important things because we're trying to keep up. And we're not letting God define the do's and the don'ts. And I say that this morning as someone who struggles with that. But we have to be able to do that. We have to let him do that. We have way too much on our plates at times because of this performance lie. But Jesus says, man, learn from me. He says, if you connect with me, man, it's easy and it's light. Not that life's going to be easy. Not that things are always going to go, rainbows and sunshines and butterflies and unicorns and all those type of weird things. I mean, life's rough. Life's going to be a journey. But he says, when you're in me, your yoke is easy. Your burden is light. And if you've got too much going on, it may be a reflection that you're doing something that God doesn't want you to do. So you got to allow him to define your do's and your don'ts. See, Jesus himself said, hey, I can only do what I see the Father doing. He said, I'm only going to do what I see the Father doing. And we need to learn from him, right? He said, look, I'm not trying to put on a show for anybody. I'm not trying to prove anything to anybody. I'm just doing what God tells me to do. And we have to take that same approach. We have to let him dictate and define the do's and the don'ts so that we can do what it is that he created us to do. Because if we have too much on our plate, we got to get rid of some things. But see, one of the keys to this is in order to do that, some of you need to refamiliarize yourself with a specific word. And it's a word that's really, really tough for some people. And it's the word no. Right? It's the word no. And for some people, I know a lot of people, they're pros at that word. Nope, nope, no, no. But for others of us, it's a word like sometimes we can't even get out of our mouth. We have to learn the word no. And for me personally, this is one of the most difficult words for me to say, is no. And it's one that I've been working on the past couple years, and there's been times that I've had some success with that, and sometimes I've had some failure with that. My daughter's looking over, she's like, you say no all the time, Dad. I don't know what you're talking about. But this is a tough word for me to say. And what I've realized in trying to work through this performance mentality and believing this lie throughout my life, what I've realized it's because I struggle with this word because I wrongly believe that my worth is based on what I'm able to accomplish. And that's wrongly based on what people think about me. So the more that I say yes to, that's more opportunity to prove myself. That's more opportunity for me to try to win so that people will think something positive of me. Or that I'm able to help or to do this and that. But in reality, all I'm doing is overwhelming myself. I have too much on my plate. I got too much going on. And as a result, I'm actually unable to do what God has created me to do. And that's the detriment of this. When you can't say no, you're probably saying yes to some of the wrong things. And sure, when you say no, you're going to tick some people off. Right? I mean, you're gonna frustrate some people and upset some people. But what we have to understand is that we have to learn to say no to some good things in order to say yes to the best things. To be able to say yes to what it is that God called you to do. And see, that's what Jesus said. Jesus was like, you know what? I'm not trying to prove anything, man. I'm just doing what God told me to do. So I'm going to do what God told me to do, and the rest can go on somewhere. Because this is my mission, and this is what I'm about. And we got to let God define our do's and our don'ts. The second thing that we need to let God define is that we need to let God define the when and the then. The when and the then. And for those of us that live in the performance mentality, you probably have a huge list, maybe either consciously or subconsciously, of these when-then situations. It's something like this. You know, when I get everything where I want it, then I'll start living, right? Or, you know, when I accomplish this goal, when I accomplish that goal, and when I accomplish this goal, then I'll be able to do, you fill in the blank, right? It's the when and the then. And again, if you're stuck in that rut of that performance mentality, you'll quickly discover that you probably have a ton of wins, but when you look back over your life, you've hardly ever gotten to the thens. Hardly ever get to those thens. My man James said it like this. He's talking to the when-thenners. He said in James chapter 4, verse 13 and 14, he said, "Now listen, listen, you who say, today or tomorrow, I will go and go to this or that city, spend a year there, carry on business, and make money. Why? You don't even know what will happen tomorrow." He says, what is your life? Your life, you are a mist that appears for a little while. Another version says you're a vapor that appears for a little while and then vanishes. He said, that's what you are. How? He said, how can you have this and define and approach everything with this win-thin mentality when you don't even know that tomorrow is promised? You're putting everything off. You're focused and distracted on the win, and the then is what really needs to happen. The then is what's really important. But we're so consumed with the when, right? The story of Mary and Martha in Luke chapter 10, I think, is a perfect example of this. It's a perfect example. See, Martha had Jesus to come over to her house, if you're not familiar with the story. So Martha had Jesus to come over, and he gets to her house, and Mary, who's Martha's sister, she just goes and sits at Jesus' feet and just starts hanging out. She's listening to him. She's just spending time, and she's being with Jesus. But Martha, man, she's doing she's doing exactly what I would do. She's running around the house. She's trying to make sure everything's perfect. She's getting everything organized, getting everything prepared, and she's running around like a crazy person because she's so focused on making the house perfect and everything where it needs to be. And while she's doing that, she kind of spots her sister just chilling with Jesus, and it makes her mad, right? So she's like, you know, like any good sister would do, she's like, I'm going to call my sister out in front of Jesus. Right? I'm gonna call her out. And she's like, Lord, don't you care that she's sitting here and left me to do everything? Just left me to do everything. And it appears that Martha, you know, she had this when-then mindset, right? She's like, when I get everything together, when I get everything perfect, when I get everything the way it needs to be, then I'll go spend time with Jesus. But first, I have to get this done. And she's running around like crazy, and she's so distracted on the win. But see, you know, Mary, she just cuts to the chase. She's like, I ain't worried about that. I'm going to be with Jesus. You can go have all that. I'm going to the then. And this is what Jesus responded. He said, Martha, you are upset and worried about many things, but only one thing is needed. And Mary chose what is better. See, while Martha, good intentions, thought she was doing everything she needed to do to make everything perfect for Jesus, when Jesus was like, man, just come spend time. Just come hang. That's what it's about. It's not about all these things I need to do before I get to this point. No, it's just get to this point. Do what it is that God wants us to do. He said that's what's better. So let's kind of bring this to 2017, right? I mean, how does this play out in our lives today? Like, let's make this practical here. So it may for you sound like, you know, when the kids get older, then we'll spend some time together. But until then, we're going this way and this way, right? That when then, right? When we get our careers established and we're financially secure, then we'll go ahead and get married, right? Or then we'll have kids. You know, when I clean up this specific area of my life, I've got to get that clean. And when I get that area cleaned up and I get those things taken care of, then I'll fully give my life to Christ. But first, I gotta do this. And when I do that, then I'll get to following Christ and giving my life to Christ. Or when I learn more scripture, when I have more theology, then I'll start to serve in the church. Or then I'll start to host or lead a life group. When I get my debt paid off, then I'll start to tithe and give biblically. Right? It's the when thens. Right? When I get this degree or when I get this certification, then I'll go after this job. See, we get so distracted on the when, we never get to the then. Because we're consumed with doing all these things because we're on this performance track. So what is your greatest when then statement? Right? What is it? What is your greatest when then? And would you be bold enough today to name that greatest win then? And actually, would you even take it a step further and go tell somebody that? I mean, there's power in speaking things. There's power in talking to someone else about it, helping someone hold you accountable to those things, right? What is your greatest win then? And will you be bold enough to name it and share it with somebody today? I guess to lead by example, I guess I have to go ahead, right, and share my greatest win then. All right, I mean, that's only makes sense, right? So for me personally, this has been a huge, huge battle. And this is as transparent and honest as I can get. But my greatest win then right now has to do with financial things. It's financial, you know, and it's consuming. And, you know, my family, we are incredibly blessed. God has blessed us with incredible careers, incredible jobs. But in the process of that, we have a whole lot of student loan debt. And we've accumulated a lot of that. So my win then sounds more like, you know, when we're able to pay off our student loan, then we can do X, Y, and Z. I don't know how many times I've said that over the past year. And there's a piece to be responsible with that. I'm not dismissing any of that. But I can't let that distract me, right? When I'm able to pay off my student loan debt and get that taken care of, then I can do what God is calling me to do. Then I can go in the direction that God is leading my life. It's the win then. And it's a battle. Trust me, it is a battle. Not a joke when I say a battle. It is a struggle for me right now. And I know it's because I struggle to let God define that win then. And that's as honest as I can be. It's a struggle. And see, and if we're not careful, if we're so consumed with the when then, and we're not careful, we're going to find ourselves in the same position as Martha, right? So focused and distracted on the when that we never get to the then. And we miss it altogether. Because our life is but a vapor. It's a mist. We don't have time to waste. We got to cut to the chase. We got to be more like Mary. Just go after it. Just go after it. See, your identity is found in Christ alone. That's it. In Christ alone. It's not found in your accomplishments. It's not found in what you have or don't have. It's not found in what people think about you or what people say about you. It's found in Christ alone. So we need to claim God's truth today in order to be set free from this lie that I am what I do. To be free from the performance mentality that plagues us. Because the truth is, you are who God says you are, right? The truth is that what we do doesn't define who you are, but is a direct result of who you are. And God tells us that you are his masterpiece. You're his masterpiece, created in Christ Jesus to do good and incredible things that he created you to do. So you are not what you do. You are not what you did. You're not what you're going to do. You are who God says you are. And you are his masterpiece. And when you can embrace that and claim that truth, not just in a head knowledge, but actually in your heart, then you can be set free. Let's pray. God, we thank you. Lord, we thank you for your truth. We thank you for the fact that you speak to us, Father. We thank you for the fact that you love us despite of ourselves, despite of the ridiculous things that we say and do, God. God, we're so humbled and thankful for that. God, we thank you for the fact that you let us know that who we are. Let us know that we are your masterpiece, that you created us in Christ Jesus anew to do incredible things for you. God, may we claim that truth today in our lives. As we continue praying this morning, maybe you're here today, and man, you've never really stepped over that line of faith because of whatever lie it may be. You've allowed the enemy to rob that peace from you. You keep God at arm's reach because you're believing a lie. Maybe that's where you are this morning. Maybe you're searching, you've been checking out the things of God, and you know, you're wrongly identifying really who God is and what he's about based off what other people have said and done. And if that's you this morning, man, you are, please know that you are so welcome here. We love you. We want you to keep coming back. We want you to keep hanging with us. But if that's you today and you're here and you're ready to step over the line of faith, man, he's waiting. He's ready for you to call on his name. Man, he loves you so much that he sent his son to die on the cross for you and rose again for you. He did that for you because he loved you. He wants nothing more than to be connected in relationship with you. He wants to create you anew in Christ Jesus. He wants you to be that new creation, that new creature. And if that's you, Scripture says that you just have to confess and believe. Confess and believe. So we read in Romans. So if that's you and you're ready to step over that line of faith, just call out to God however he leads, just from your heart. It's not the words, it's not the prayer, it's not, you know, it's just you and God. It's confessing that you are in desperate need of a Savior. That you struggle, that you're not perfect, and that only he can save you. And believing that God rose him from the grave for you. That sacrifice, that his blood that was shed, his body that was given is sufficient for your salvation, sufficient for covering every single sin in your life, everything that you've done wrong or will do in the future. It's sufficient. And when you place your faith and trust in that, God says that you are connected with him eternally. That you are a new creation. Old things have passed away. All things are new. You are his child. He loves you. He's chosen you. Step over that line of faith today. As we continue in prayer, maybe you're already a Christ follower and you've been a Christ follower for some time, but you're stuck in this performance mentality and it's robbed every single bit of joy that you have in your life. It's distorted your relationship with God. It's distorted your relationship with your family and your friends and everyone else around you because all you can think about is trying to perform to the next accomplishment, right? To the next thing that you can buy, to the next positive word from someone else, and you're long and you thrive off that, and when it goes south, man, you're devastated and you're destroyed because your identity is falsely and wrongly placed in all the wrong areas. And if that's you, understand that you are not what you do, but you are God's masterpiece. You're his masterpiece, and he created you to do incredible things through him, not in your own strength, but through him. So let God define the do's and don'ts. Let him define the wind thins and really wrestle with that stuff. It's not easy. It's not easy. Man, I've been struggling and grinding with this for a while. And I'm going to keep grinding. I'm going to keep going. Because I'm working to allow God to define these things in my life. Because I know ultimately that's what leads to freedom. Freedom in him. Peace and joy. If you find yourself in that same spot, man, just call out to God and talk to him and just begin that journey, begin that process of letting go and letting him just take over. God, we thank you again for your word. God, we thank you for loving us. We thank you for the fact, God, that you're so good. And Lord, I pray for each and every person that's in here this morning, God, or that's listening into the podcast, God, that you would speak truth to them, whatever it may be that they need to hear from you, God. God, even if it's radically different than anything that I said up here, man, I don't even care. It's all about you, God. And I pray that you would move and you would speak to people. And God, may they be responsive. May I be responsive, God. May we soften our hearts, quiet our minds, and hear what you have to say, God, and then take action. God. I pray that you would bless each and every person that's in here, God. If there's someone in here that doesn't know you as their Savior, God, I pray that you would continue to work on them, God. And may you just clear out all those roadblocks and those hindrances or those things that they falsely believe about you, God. May they see you crystal clear. May they give you their all. God, for any of us that are in here that are constantly believing those lies that the enemy throws, God, may we claim your truth. Seek your word out. Seek your truth. Capture those lies and get rid of them. Make them obedient to you, Father. God, may we get back in the game and not let Satan sideline us any longer so that we can do what it is you created us to do, Father. And we thank you. We thank you for that call. We thank you for allowing us to be a part of this thing. We love you. It's your name we pray. Amen.
Why are you striving these days? Why are you trying to earn grace? Why are you crying? Let me lift up your face. Just don't turn away. Still searching as if I'm not enough. So where will you go, child? Tell me, where will you run? So where will you run? 'Cause I'll be by your side wherever you fall, in the dead of night, wherever you call, and breathe. Don't fight these hands that are holding you. My hands are holding you by your side wherever you fall, in the day of night, whenever you call. Just please don't fight the hands that are holding you. Yes, my hands are holding you. Just look at these hands and my side. They swallowed the grave on that night when I drank the world's sin so I could carry you in and give you life. I want to give you life. 'Cause I'll be by your side wherever you fall, in the dead of night, whenever you call. And please don't fight these hands that are holding you. My hands are holding you here at my side wherever you call, in the dead of night, whenever you fall. Just please don't fight the hand that are holding you. Yes, my hands are holding you. Yes, I love you. I want you to know that I love you. I'll never let you go. No, 'cause I love you. I want you to know that side wherever you fall, in the dead of night, whenever you call it. Please don't fight these hands that are holding you. 'Cause my hands are holding you. You're my side whenever you call, in the dead of night, whenever you fall. Just please don't fight these hands that are holding you. 'Cause my hands are holding you. Yes, my hands are holding you. My hands are holding you. My hands are holding you.
All right. As we continue with our worship, with our tithes and our offerings, Guys, go ahead and come forward with that. Here at LifePoint, there's a few different ways that you can give. Begin to give biblically. Like I said, maybe that's one of your win-thens. You kind of have this thing set up that, you know, once when you're able to do this, then you'll start to give. And I really challenge you just to be obedient to God and go straight to that then. Begin to do that. He asked for just a small portion of what he's blessed us with, and to give that back. And we encourage you to do that today. You can either give when the basket passes here in a second, or you can go online and you can give in a safe, secure, electronic, 2017, most people are doing that. So, but we just encourage you to do that. And we really appreciate you being a part, both physically and financially, of what God is doing here at LifePoint Church. Also, if this is your first time out, again, thank you so much for being here today. We loved having you. We loved seeing you. Hopefully, we hang around for a minute so we get to meet you. But if you would, in your bulletin's a connection card. If you could take a quick second and fill that out with just some of your general information, you can actually exchange it in the back for just a little gift from us. It's just the way we say thanks for being here and taking the time to fill out a card. We want to connect with you. We want to get to know you better. We're not going to stalk you. You're not going to start getting, random phone calls and anything weird like that. So, if you do, it's not from us. So, I don't know what else you got going on. But we just really encourage you to do that. We want to connect with you. Also, on that connection card, if you made any decisions, have any questions, need prayer for anything, any prayer requests, things like that, you can put that on that connection card, drop it in the basket when it passes, or there'll be a basket sitting in the back. You can drop it in there, hand it off to me, whatever you're comfortable with. But we look at those weekly. We want to connect with you. We want to help you on your journey. We want to be able to pray over the things that are going on in your life. We are a family here at LifePoint, and we want to do life together, and that's the good, bad, and the ugly. We want to celebrate the wins, but when you're going through something or someone in your family's going through something, you're struggling and you're in those tough spots, man, we want to come around you and help you through that, walk point with you, and maybe it's just cry with you, whatever it may be, but we're a family. We want to do life together. So we encourage you to do that. So guys, we'll go ahead and come with the baskets. And then while they do that, I have a few announcements today. We have a brunch after the service, so please stay and hang out, eat, hang out. It'd be a great time. Even if you didn't bring anything, don't really care, hang out. If you did bring something, thank you. We appreciate that. But if not, no big deal. Come hang out, eat. It'd be a good time. Men's outing, bluegrass karting. It'll be February 18th, this coming Saturday. Contact Will Bland for the details. There's his information. Will's that up on Facebook? Okay, cool. If you're on Facebook, check it out. We'll get that information up there. Make sure you come out to that. Don't worry. I know I talked about how competitive I am at ping pong and anything else. Unfortunately, I won't be there, so I will not run you off the track. So I'll be getting my dance dad on that weekend. But make sure you come. That'll be a great time. If you're new here, you've just been getting connected, it's a great time to meet other dudes and hang out. So that's all we've got. Again, thank you all so much for being here. Mike and the team are going to lead us out, and we'll hopefully see you at our brunch. Thanks for coming out.
All right, let's stand and sing this together. All we need is we have all we need in you, Christ Jesus alone. Sing us out. Cause we have all we need in you, and all we need is you, and all we need is you. Sing it again. Cause we have all we need in you, and all we need is you, and all we need is you. All we need, come on. All we need, all we need, all we need is you. Come on, all we need, all we need, all we need is you. rejoice in fear. We'll see you next week.